We're having to reset a lot of things around here today on the sound system, so just bear with us as he is working feverishly to get all the bugs worked out of it. We had to change up a bunch of equipment, so those of you who don't know a whole lot about sound, I can tell you it can be hard having to get everything to work. But would y'all give John a hand? He does an awesome job back there. He's getting it all worked out, and it'll be great once he gets it fine-tuned. Hey, we are going forward. We are in our fresh new season. We're in a new time. We're in a new moment here at North Elevation Church. And throughout my series, I'm going to keep that video in front of you. I don't want you to lose sight of where we're at right now. This isn't a time to stop or go backwards. Let's go. We're going to go into everything that God has called us to do. He's made us some significant promises, and we are going to see them, every one of them, come to pass. Amen. We're going to see every one of them come to pass. That's better. Hey, if you missed Pastor Collins' message last Sunday, you need to go online. You can listen to it on the website, or you can go into Facebook. We archive everything. I know it kind of jumped around. You might get to see pieces of it, so go to the website if you need to listen to the audio. You can go to Facebook because Colin and them and Isaac, they did record it. They came back and planted it on Facebook, the whole service, so you can go see it if you want to. But if you did not hear that message, it is a message in season. Yes. Yes. And you need to go hear his message from last Sunday. This Wednesday, we will have our first Wednesday service. We finally get to step into the other portion of the vision that we had when I was meeting with the launch team. We talked about first Wednesdays, and then we had to meet in a theater where they said, no, there'll be no Wednesdays. And so we are finally going to get to do our first Wednesday service. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be like Sunday morning. It will be different. There will be times the worship will be different. From month to month, it will be different. What you experience in the first Wednesday will be different than the second first Wednesday. It's going to be different. We're going to be, Pastor Rochelle and I and the team, we're going to be led by the Lord and be led by the Holy Spirit on Wednesday nights. It will have four elements to it. It will have worship. It will have a teaching. It will have personal ministry, and it will have prayer time. When will that happen throughout the service? Who knows? Just be ready. It's going to be fun. And God's going to move here on Wednesday nights. And I do want to tell all the parents there will be no child care. These will be treated as family nights together. Don't stay away because you got to bring your children with you. It'd be good for them to sit in a service and learn how to be disciplined. You know why? Because all of our children's workers, and do you believe they need it? They want to be here on Wednesday nights. They need to be here. They're back there taking care of your kids, and they are hungry to be here on Wednesday nights. And we want them to be in here. Now, if there's somebody in here that all of a sudden you get this stirring inside of you and you feel like all of a sudden you get the passion to take care of kids, we'll talk about that if you want to do that on Wednesday nights. But right now it'll be a family night. And I encourage you to come. Do not stay home because of your children. We will. It'll be anywhere from a 45-minute to a 65-minute service. I promise you. Unless the Holy Spirit's just really moving in a really powerful way and that could happen, we won't go over 65 minutes because you know why? We care about you and your families and getting home and doing what you need to do and get your children in bed so they can go to school. For some of them, it's go to bed, get up, and stare at their computer in their bedroom. We're just living in a different world. But we encourage you to come to our first Wednesday service. It's a part of the vision here at North Elevation Church. We are in a fresh new season. God has made us significant promises. God promised to us that we were not moving into a miracle moment, but we're moving into a miracle season. He said, series after series after series after series of miracles will take place. There will be the miracles of healing. That is happening, been happening. We're on the last day of our fast. And for those of you who want to know, did it end when we started service? No, midnight. Midnight. And during this fast, God is already doing what he said. Just yesterday, I received a phone call from a man, and he said, I sat in my car, I opened up the Word of God, I began to proclaim the Scriptures over my father who needed a mental and physical healing. And within a day, he was back to normal. That's just one of many that has been going on. Healings. Financial miracles. Angela Martin shared a financial miracle 2 weeks ago with all of you where God just put money at their front door. I've heard many, many things through the last 21 days where people have said they've had increase or they've had a miracle in getting provision for something. God said we're in a miracle season. We've got to embrace the promises. We have to embrace the promises. Also, people have come to me and said, you know, I have felt like I just haven't had anything to give. And all of a sudden, God is stirring all this creativity in me to go do things that I never thought about doing before. That was one of the promises. Another promise was that God was going to use us in a special way, a pivotal way, to bring families back together. I've had people bring testimonies to me telling me children are contacting them and saying, less fellowship. We'll fellowship in the Word. It also said people would reconnect to the church, and God's doing that. He's already started it. And we've got to embrace the promises. It's just the tip of the iceberg. God said the miracle of this building was the tip of the iceberg of what all I'm going to do here. And we know the tip of the iceberg is only 10%. I believe that we just saw 10% during this fast of the core of all that God is going to do. The natural eye can only see 10% of the iceberg. It can't see the whole core. So what I presented to you in the beginning of this series was a truth. We've got to have spiritual eyes to see the unseen. And we have got to embrace the promises that God has made to us. We need to embrace them, hold on to them as though we already have them. Then I shared with you about fasting, the importance of fasting and the difference it will make in being able to see with spiritual eyes, being able to embrace and hang on to the promises. And then we talked about prayer. Just like the testimony I got yesterday, talked to you about prayer, about praying the powerful Word of God. Praying the Word, not just praying, but praying the Word of God. And the power in it. Today I'm going to land on the third thing that I shared with you before I talked about fasting, before I talked about prayer. And it's a verse of scripture about writing things down so that you can stand when the enemy tries to steal your promise. Where you go back and you look at it, you open up and you point to. What did Jesus do in the wilderness? The Word says, it is written, and He defeated the enemy. You need to write down the promises that God has made this church. You need to write down the promises. When I say church, who is the church? You are. The promises God's made to the church here. And write down the promises God has made to you. Have you done that yet? It is so important that you do that so that when the enemy tries to steal your promise, you open that up and you say, it is written. This is what God said. And you stand and you do warfare and you refuse to let the enemy steal your promise. In Habakkuk, it says, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it, for still the vision awaits. Its appointed time, it hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. You need to underline, wait for it. That's going to be important today. Wait for it. We have a powerful worship song that the team sings called, It's in the Waiting. I've often wanted to turn around and see when people stop singing. I don't like the waiting. It's in the waiting. Wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. The only reason it seems like a delay is because we're trying to predetermine the timing for God, and God has a perfect timing to release it. You got to write it down. I'm going to read a verse of Scripture, and if I read out of my Bible, you know it's not going to be up there, so you better take a note on this one. In Psalms 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still. Be still. Wait on it. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us." The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Wait on it. Write it down. Make it plain so that you can do warfare with it. On Wednesday night, we have prayer chest over here. We're going to do some unique things. We're going to have personal ministry. It's going to be done uniquely. We're going to have prayer time. You're going to come in here and receive a prayer card. And you're going to write your prayer requests on the back. Maybe what you need to write on the back of this card is write down the promises. And let us get in agreement with you for the fulfillment of the promises. And you'll put those in the prayer chest. Anytime during the service, there'll be a time where our pastoral care team is going to come up. They're going to take those cards and they're going to pray over all of them. They're going to look at those cards and pray over them individually. So you need to be here Wednesday night. But you need to write it down. But let me give you an insight of great importance. If you're going to stand and stand strong and embrace the promises, there is something you must do. You must, I must, you must, we all must learn to sit before we stand. We have got to learn to sit and be still and remember. During this fast, I have spent a lot of time just being quiet, being still, and listening for that still, small voice and remembering. It's in the waiting that God will strengthen you. It's in the waiting, being still and remembering the memorial stones that will strengthen you, cause you to stand up and resist the devil when he tries to take your promise. We're all out there wanting to fight, which is great, but are we spending the time to be still and hear his voice and remember? Just the other day, I turned to Psalms 18. And I was just being still because I know my adversary. And I want to be strong because I refuse to let him take the promises. How about you? So I'm being still before God. And I start reading Psalms 18. And I read verses 1 through 6, and I remembered. I remembered things God had done for me. And I began to worship him, and I began to praise him, and I began to thank him for what he had done. And if he did that once, he will do it again. And then I read verses 16 through 20, and I remembered. And I kept getting stronger by the moment. I'm already at a "All right, devil, you got something you want to say? You're going to lose today." I'm remembering the goodness of my Father to do anything and everything. And then I kept reading, and I came across verse 43, and I stood up out of my chair, walked around the room. I was remembering something God done. You don't think that won't bring some strength? Plant your feet to not let the enemy take your promise? I kept reading. I sat back down and I read verses 46 through 50. And I began to worship God and I began to remember. And I began to declare to the enemy that he would not have your promise. He would not have my promise. He ain't taking the promises from us. Because he'll take the promises from us if he can get you distracted and going in the wrong direction. He can get you into negativity. He can rob you. If we're going to stand, we have got to learn to spend quality time and be still and know he is God. He is the God of your life. He's the God of your family. I don't care what's going on in your family. He's the God of your family. But unless you spend some quality time getting still and remembering, you're going to have days it's going to be hard to see that. We got to be still. If we're going to stand, we're going to write it down. We're going to use it to defeat the enemy, to keep him buried and under our feet. Then we've got to learn to be still. We've got to sit down and get quiet and know that he is God. Here's something else that we need to get still and remember. I'm just going to give you a few. I could give you all day enough things that would keep you busy for weeks and weeks of the goodness of God. But let me just bring up a few things that we need to remember. We need to remember you are loved unconditionally. I don't care the mess up. You are loved unconditionally. You need to sit and remember you are loved unconditionally. And remember all the times that God proved he still loved you. He's always loved you. He's never stopped loving you. You let the enemy make you believe he didn't love you. But he proved to you over and over and over again in your life, I love you. We need to sit and be still. And we need to remember all the times that God proved he loves me. Romans, I love this verse of scripture about this. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? No. Settle that right now. No. No. You can walk away, but it won't separate the fact he still loves you. No. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. Verse 17, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. Who loved us? Some of us need to get a victory in our lives. We need to sit down and remember Christ loves me and the victory is mine. Verse 38, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Settle it. You are loved. You're loved. You are loved. Say it. I am loved. My Father loves me. He loves me with unconditional love. That feels good just saying that. Next, he will provide. We need to sit down in the chair and remember all the times that God has provided. We always want to say, well, he's not providing right now. I don't care. Sit down in the chair, get still, and remember all the times that he's provided for you. And Father God will do it again. But if you start believing that he never will, then the enemy will get you off on a road to speak against your blessings. We've got to spend, listen, you know what? We've lost the art in the church of just sitting and being quiet with my Bible open. We have all this technology. I'm excited that you know how to use it. I use it. But you know what? We need to go back and never forget the old school is still the best way. And sit down with my pen and my highlighter. I had to get a new Bible. It's okay to write in your Bible. I've already highlighted and been writing in this one. Oh, but I take notes on my phone. Why don't you take some notes in here and set with the written word that people gave their lives to make sure you have this book. Never forget the first book. We need to spend time quietly before God, remembering Matthew 6, 31 says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. He knows what you need. What's about to come is coming free. He knows what you need. And some of the things you think you need, you don't need. It's not good for you. It's okay for the person across the street, not for you. But God knows what you need. He loves you unconditionally. Your Father is not going to let you go without. But Jesus also said that we will face trials and tribulations. But I have overcome the world. And we're in Christ Jesus and we overcome the world. Now let me take you to Paul and Silas. Let's talk about another way that God provides. Acts 16, verse 22, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas. And the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. You know what? You need to underline this passage of Scripture. When you get to thinking things are really bad, come read this. Watch how they responded. They were severely beaten. Then they were thrown into prison. Not only were they stripped, embarrassed, then beaten, then thrown into prison. Prison back then is not our prisons. It was a dark, nasty place. And most history books will tell you that unless you had friends and family that would bring food to you, you starved. Not a good place. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon, clamped their feet in stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. The word listening here means they were leaning in. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. And all the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. We need to sit and remember all the times that God intervened in our lives. God's never intervened in my life. No, he has too. He's intervened. Think about that time you thought it was hopeless and God intervened. Think about that time at work where you were like, I'm going to quit this job because I'm going to kill everybody on the other side of that petition. But I can't do that. I'm a Christian. And you finally went and you got on your face and opened up the Word of God and began to proclaim the Word of God over your workplace. You begin to walk around and pray throughout the facility before anybody else got to work. And what was a horrible place to work became an amazing place to work. Because God shook and broke the chains of the enemy's assignment. We got to sit and remember quietly before God. And as you remember, as I do, I was going through the scriptures. I'm making notes in my Bible, writing it again. Well, haven't you written those things down before? Oh, yeah, probably a dozen times or more, maybe 100 times. But right now it's coming back to me, and I'm writing it in my Bible. So every time I go to my Bible, I open up that book, and I go to Psalms 18. I'm going to remember how God delivered me out of the hand of the enemy. We need to sit and remember that God will renew our strength. There are seasons and times, come on, even in this past year, maybe you've walked into the first of this year and you feel drained. You feel like your strength's being taken from you. You've been through a lot. There's people sitting in here right now just came through the COVID season in their life. And they're still getting their strength back. So that they have a physical understanding right now of how our strength can be drained from us. God will renew our strength. I don't know why God don't ever renew my strength. Wrong words. Remember when God renewed your strength. He will do it again. He will do it again. Isaiah says, most familiar scripture concerning this. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait for the Lord's help find renewed strength. They rise up. What was the key to that first portion? But those who what? Wait. And be still. And remember. Those who wait for the Lord's help will find renewed strength. It helps me to sit down and remember all the times God, in my weakest moment in life, how He encouraged me, how He built me up, and how He strengthened me. And then I walk away from that seat, from that room, going, it will be no different today. God will work this out. He'll give me the strength I need. But those who wait for the Lord's help will find renewed strength. They rise up as if they had eagle's wings. They run without growing weary. They walk without getting tired. Could you use some of that? Do some sitting. And be still. And know that your God will renew your strength. And open up your Bible. Love Psalms 138:3. I've given you some of my favorite passages. Psalms 138:3 says, in the day when I cried out, you answered me, and you made me bold with strength in my soul. Can I say something here and you get it? Cry out like a baby. You're His kid. Cry out to Him, and He will not let your cry go unmet. Because you're crying out to the only one who can make it different. You're crying out to the source of true strength. Cry out to Him. Now I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians to talk about, again, strength. You say, well, this strength would be more like providing. No, walk with me through this passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 8. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. Would you think they might have been a little bit weak after that? Think they might be needing some strength to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. When you make the decision, sit in that chair and remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and the Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, I'm already strengthened. This verse of Scripture is talking to us about where do we put our faith and what do we rely on. I know Red Bull's good, but I'm going to tell you what, the Scriptures are better. But as a result, we stop relying on ourselves and learn to rely only on God who raises the dead. And he did rescue us. Listen to this. And he did rescue us. When did that rescue come? When he realized that I serve the God that raises people from the dead. And I got out of myself and put myself in his hands. And look what my God did. What did my God do? He rescued us from mortal danger. And he will rescue us again. What is he doing right there? He is remembering all the times that God rescued him from death. Stone was beat. He was stoned. He's remembering. In my weakness, I can lean into and rely on my God, who has proven he will rescue me. He will do it again. He did rescue us from mortal danger. He will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. What's the key? He said, we place our confidence in him. You sit and you remember all the times where you got out of yourself, got away from everything else, all the voices, and you just begin to rely on God. You remember that moment when you finally gave up what you should have done 6 months before. You finally do it. You give up. You rely on God. You put your confidence in him, and then he moves. And we forget so quickly because we don't spend enough time being still. We must sit down and remember the memorial stones. I don't have any, Pastor. Yes, you do. Have to remember the memorial stones. Let's read in Joshua. Joshua, Moses is dead. Joshua's been put in charge. They're fixing to go over into the promised land. They've got to cross the Jordan. We're going to pick the story up as they're finishing passing over the Jordan. Verse 4, or verse 1. And when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe, a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, and from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Verse 4, then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel. That is, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in the time to come, What do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. To your children and your children's children. If you don't have children, to a generation who will find your journals. To the generation who will find your Bibles that you have written in and penned the memorials in your Bible. You say, Pastor, you sure spent a lot of time telling us about journaling. There is a reason. Your journals are memorial stones of what God has done in your life for the next generation. When my time is done, I expect that all my journals will be gathered up by the family, and I hope that they will begin to go through them. They're going to read some really funny stuff. They're going to read some stuff and go, Dad was seriously not doing well at that moment. All of that becomes a memorial stone to what? My God is faithful. And He'll be faithful to you. Memorial stones. How important are memorial stones? They're very important. God, I remember when Tiffany had all those growths on both of her hands. You couldn't even hardly see her skin. It was so bad. Front and back. She was being ridiculed and made fun of. And we spent money and we went to doctors. We did everything. And then on that one Sunday, God, I remember, I went and took the hands of one of the elders. And we began to proclaim the scriptures. And we began to curse those things. And we began to believe you, God, to intervene. And that very night, God, you did. Tiffany woke up that morning running into the bedroom going, Daddy, Daddy, look at my hands. They were perfect. I remember. I remember, God, when Dio was born, early, 4 pounds and something. I could hold her in my hand. And they rushed her down to the preemie care, God. And in 48 hours, she pushed herself up with her own arms and looked around. And the doctor said, take her home. God, I remember. God, I remember when Daniel was born. They came in and told us there was a growth around his heart and he was having issues and problems and we couldn't see him and they were trying to figure out what to do. And we stood on your word and we prayed and in 6 hours that growth dissolved. I remember. God, I'll never forget. Adriana was born. She came out purple. Her lungs weren't developed. And the doctor handed her to me and told the nurse to stay away. I remember praying in the spirit over her, and I carried her all the way down to the nursery. And 4 hours later, her lungs were perfect. I remember. God, I remember just this year that you gave us a miracle in our family and healed Colin. Miraculously, I remember. God, I remember we couldn't even put food on the table for our 4 kids. Nobody knew because we didn't tell people things. But I remember, God, that envelope in the mailbox. No name. No one ever took credit for it. With all that cash in that envelope that took care of us for a couple of weeks. I remember. God, I remember when our cars broke down and we were so poor, we could hardly have gas, put gas in them. We didn't know what we were going to do. And you provided a way for us to get a new car. You're a good God. I remember. What are your memorials? Have you built memorials? Are you building memorials? Are you just thinking about what you don't have right now or what didn't happen? What about the healings? What about the financial provision? What about the jobs that nobody said you could have and you got? What about the children that came home when God, people told you that they're lost forever? What about that husband or wife that came to God when everything seemed lost? Your God is faithful. You have to build the memorial stones. Why doesn't God heal in certain mysteries of things? We'll find out when we get to heaven. But there's one thing you'll never get me to do, is to believe that my God has stopped healing people. I have too many memorial stones. And when someone's trying to convince me that someone can't be healed, I sit down and I get still and I get my Bible and I begin to remember how powerful my God is. I start thinking about how powerful the Word of God is. I start remembering all the times that God has done the miraculous. And then I stand up and I take on the enemy, and the devil flees from my mind. We've got to spend more time sitting before the Lord. And I only just covered a quarter of my message. But I knew that was going to happen. You know why? Because God made us a promise 2 weeks ago. I spoke it in this room. I'm going to speak it again. God is up to something large in this place. I got to let our tech team know not to show the conclusion on the screen, because I have another conclusion. Hot off the wire from last night, as God began to speak to my heart and told me, you're not going to get through the message because I have a new direction for you. Let me conclude my message before I do what the Holy Spirit instructed me to do. Remembering God's faithfulness isn't limited to our personal experience. I believe it's a good practice to hear the faithfulness of God in the life of others through their testimonies. You know what that's saying to all of us? Share your story. Don't keep it to yourself. Share your story. Don't keep it to yourself. Share your story. And it'd be a good practice for you to go ask other believers, share your story with me. I just sat with one of my overseers and I said to him, I said, share with me a win right now. You know why? Because that strengthens and encourages me, the testimony. Share your story. Quit hiding out. Share your stories. I just put plural to it, didn't I? Share your stories. Well, nothing's happened lately. Well, what happened 5 years ago? Share your story. Share your story. The situations may be different, but God remains the same. If he did it before for them, he is more than able to do the same for you. Today is the day of a decision to start building memorial stones. Today is a decision to think about the next generation. What are you leaving them? Well, I'm leaving them insurance stuff. No. That's great. I hope we all are able to leave our children more than we ever thought we would. But what I want to leave them with the most is with the bread of life that will get them through life. The memorial stones. I have learned through the years that it's not just my children. I have other people's children and their grandchildren have listened to things that I've taught through the years and tell me today that I still stand on the things I learned. I had a bad family, but I have a great family because of the principles you taught. They're not my children, they're someone else's children. You don't have to have children to affect the next generation. You just have to decide to start sharing your story, start sharing what you know. Don't keep it to yourself. But this morning is a time of decision. Are you going to start building your memorial stones? And it begins with coming before God, getting still and remembering and praising Him for the stones. God, I remember. When I go through this, if it happens in my prayer, I'm holding that stone and I'm going, God, I remember. And I get lost in worship over what God did before I ever go to the next one. These altars are open always. I'm not going to ask everybody to stand. I'm going to ask those who want to come and begin to remember. We're going to take a season for just a few minutes. We can now. We're not in a theater. And while Chris is playing, you can either do it in your seat or do it up here in this altar. We have kneeling pads around the altar. You want to stand? Come and begin to build your altar of memorial stones. See, it became an altar of worship. They built those stones up and people would pass by and remember. And I can just see some young person in the next generation going, oh God, thank you for opening this up, because now we have more than enough in Cana. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the courage of my parents to walk with you and to cross over in the Jordan and to fight those battles to take Jericho and all the other cities. Thank you, Lord. It becomes an altar of worship to God. I'm going to ask you to either bow where you're at or come and kneel around this altar and begin to build your memorial stones for a few minutes. If you have to leave, you're welcome to leave. The restaurants will still be there. This is a very important time of remembrance, being still before God. Let Him speak to you right now. Let the Holy Spirit have room in your life right now to remind you of what the Father has done for you and for those around you. And begin to praise Him and thank Him. And begin to build your memorial stones. Build your memorial stones. We worship you, God. We magnify your name. You are the Lion of Judah. You're the Lily of the Valley, the great and morning star. You've done so much. If you never did another thing, you've already done so much. You've already done so much. Oh God, just want to worship you and thank you. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, keep me in constant remembrance of what the Father has done for me, what He's done for my family, what He's done for others around me. Those of you that are watching online right now, I'm going to encourage you to do the same thing. If you can, just get down and kneel. Don't even think about, don't even let the enemy try to bring the negative to you. Bow before the Lord Be still right now. Get quiet and let the Holy Spirit remind you of all the good God has done in your life, in your family's life, the people around you. Don't focus on the bad times. The enemy wants you to live there. That's what makes you powerless. But when you remember what God has done for you, it makes you powerful to stand in God's word and see the promises manifest in your life. Remember. Would everyone look at me for just a moment? I'm going to go real out here now. If the prophets could do crazy things, I can encourage you to do some crazy stuff, right? Read the Old Testament. I've done a lot of things. Maybe for you, maybe you need to go to Lowe's or Home Depot. And maybe you need to get you some stones and find you a place at home. And you write literally on that brick, God provided when it was hopeless. And build your memorial stones, a place of worship, thanking God for everything He's done for you. Maybe that's what you need to do to fully embrace what God wants to do in your life. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus today. I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for the Spirit of the living God. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. You dwell in this place. You dwell in us. Your presence has been real and obvious here today. God, we worship you. We walk out of here with praises on our lips that you are a good God. You are a faithful God. And we love you, Lord, as you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a guest with us for the first time, please stop by the Connection Center. We have a bag for you. There's a connection card in there. Just fill that out as much as you feel comfortable. I would like to send you a personal card. I'm not going to make a bunch of phone calls. You're dismissed today. Thank you for coming today. And go build your memorial stones.